Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
It's the Empire of the Suns podcast. I'm Kevin Zimmerman, joined by Kellen Olsen. We're going to go deep on the second round pick, mostly the 31 pick that the Suns have. They also have 59. Suns have first and 16. How much does that dictate what they do at 31? Because obviously they don't really want to have three rookies coming into camp.
So I think the thing that we have discovered the most that we maybe wouldn't have discovered, say the Suns had the first pick and then they didn't have their second round pick this year and we were covering it, I don't think we would have realized how much, at least for me personally, how much we like these ranges, specifically like 16 and 31. I think for taking what you normally get at 16 and what you normally get at 31 in drafts, like, these are really good spots to be in compared to other years. So with that in mind, I'm not ruling out the possibility that the Suns absolutely love, like, Shea or Robert Williams or Lonnie Walker at 16 and just, like, they say, screw it, we love this guy, he's, like, one of our top 10 prospects, and then they're at 31 and they're like, oh my goodness, Dante DiVincenzo or Kevin Herter or one of these guys slips, or there's a guy like Jalen Brunson who they think is like a top 15 player in this class or top 20, and they're just like, we said we weren't going to try and take three rookies, but we have three rookies here that we absolutely love. I see that as possible, but I think the avenues at which the draft goes, I think we are safely assuming right now that they go DeAndre Ayton at one. So that rules out any centers in the second round. Guess what, Kevin? There aren't really any centers in the second round anyway. You're going to have a piece on Friday that goes up about the bigs that are in this like range, but there's pretty much like none. You're covering like for this range, like for the first four positions, if you haven't checked it out on ArizonaSports.com, we covered point guards, kind of off-ball guards that are more like less point guards, more combo guards, 3-and-D wings, and like these weird forwards who are like threes and fours and stuff. There are no like stretch fours. There are really no real bigs. Like there's no real center. Like there's like guys like Moritz Wagner and Metu, and it's a really weird range, so I don't think that's going to matter much. I think if they go point guard at 16, or if they trade up and get a point guard, well, if they trade up, we're assuming they use 31, I guess. But it will dictate it, but I think there still is an outcome where they like one of these guys enough to keep the pick.
31's a weird spot because, like, 16, I can see them moving up or down or pushing, getting a future pick and kind of using that. I think that's the most likely most tradable draft pick they have this year. 31's weird, though, because I remember like the Suns traded up a few spots to get Archie Goodwin. Like, that's actually, I guess, a tradable second-round pick, but it's not very valuable. But what you said is true. There are a lot of intriguing guys. I just edited your like versatile kind of lanky bigs with weird tools, and it kind of made me want to vomit. I'm working on the bigs, like you said. We can start there, I guess. It doesn't feel great either. Wagner, I assume it's Wagner. I don't know, because he's German. He's listed around that 31 range, but I just see him being very limited. I think he's more plotting than people have said. He's a pretty good shooter, but there's a million guards in that range who are great shooters and defenders. He's not going to be the defender. He's kind of too small to defend big centers, too slow to defend fast centers. Omari Spellman, I think, could be like the Jordan Bell of that range. Do you like him, I assume?
He's okay. He's kind of, yeah. He's interesting just as a strong, kind of agile, undersized big who has range on his jump shot and just has the Villanova Jay Wright trait where he plays hard, he's smart, he knows where to be. I really don't see a center in that spot. I really don't. Again, the asterisk to everything we talk about like with this kind of stuff is that all it takes is the Suns just absolutely loving Metu or something, and then they're all the way in on him. I don't really see it, though, because I don't really get what you're... I guess what you'd be getting is you'd be, first of all, getting... Alan Williams would be done. Like, he'd be gone. Five and a half guaranteed, and you draft a center at that spot, he's gone. So I guess you'll get a cheaper option, and you feel like there's some appeal there, but I don't really see that. I think the part that's interesting is what I wrote about, which is going to come out on Thursday. There's these really long, weird forwards. There's like seven or eight of them in this range, and it feels like there's seven or eight of them for the next four groups we're going to talk about. Jared Vanderbilt is a guy who is super interesting. He's had three major foot injuries since high school, so that's not good. It clearly affects his athleticism because you can tell that he's like still pretty explosive and quick, but you can tell that like he's lost a step or two just compared to what you would expect out of a 6'8 guy, a 7'1 wingspan with his type of explosiveness. But he is one of the best rebounders in this class, and he is absolutely, like, if we're talking the Luka Doncic rankings of who are the best passers and playmakers 6'7 or above, he's one of the best three or five in this class, without a doubt. Like, maybe he's not running ball screens or whatever, but if you give him the ball and have him attack a closeout, that's really good. And you're probably wondering, wow, why haven't I heard of this guy? This guy sounds awesome. He can't shoot at all. And I think my favorite quote from Jay-Z Mazlish of the Stepien was that if you gave me 100 outcomes for Jared Vanderbilt's outcome, I don't think he's a passable shooter in any of those 100 outcomes. That's like how bad it is for his
so
shooting.
So he'll
outlook.
Never be able to attack a closeout because no one's going to close out.
Exactly. But he's 6'8 with a 7'1 wingspan, super quick, works super hard. And that is the type of ideal size where you're like, yeah, you can cover four to five positions because you're not too big to like be able to not move quick enough. And then for bigger guys, you're long enough and you work hard enough where you can cover some centers, at least like cover some centers and cover some point guards. So if the Suns are looking at a specific guy, we're like, look, defense, passing, shooting, okay, this guy's an awesome rebounder, he has the potential to be an awesome defender, we don't care about having one non-shooter on the floor for the sake of those two skills, he's really interesting. Is there anyone else from that group? Chandler Hutchison is a guy we haven't really talked about. There's Kenrich Williams, Justin Jackson from Maryland last year.
Hutchison, I think, if he fell, and he's reportedly gotten some, I think it was the Bulls or something in that 20-25 range, a promise. So if he fell, I think he would be a possibility. But again, you're talking about need, and the Suns do not need that necessarily at that point. But then again, 3-and-D guy probably will be a good shooter. Yeah, he'd be the only one I would say that's... I think he's head and shoulders above those other guys on your list.
The main point was that Dragan Bender, Marquise Chris, what do they do on a basketball court? And we just... you just shrugged at me. It's like... they do stuff, and it's just untapped potential for them. These guys, it's like Justin Jackson's going to come in, guard three positions, work hard, be bulky on the glass, and maybe hit open threes. Chandler Hutchison is going to be able to score off the bounce and hopefully hit open threes. Kade Bates-Jop, who we haven't hit on yet, is super long, and if everything comes together for him, he can do a whole lot of stuff. Kenrich Williams is just going to make like really smart plays. These guys have like defined things that they do, and that's what they could be looking to really add. The deepest part of this draft by far in this range is 3-and-D guys. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a ton of them. And it seems like a really a no-brainer for the Suns to go here. There is going to be one guy from the Shake Milton, Josh Okogie, Jacob Evans, Melvin Frazier range that slips to 31 that's going to be there. That's how it's going to happen. It's one of those guys is going to be there. Maybe Kevin Huerter just falls because people are like, oh, yeah, well, he's smart and he can attack off the dribble and make passes. Excellent shooter, but we like this guy's like overall potential more. Like his ceiling is kind of whatever. Maybe he falls there. Is there anyone in particular in that group where you're not hoping, but just like you really could see a positive outcome for him in Phoenix? I think Shake Milton for me is the obvious standout, but I think he's a standout because he's not going to be there at 31.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about point guards, I actually think Okobo might fall. He's been rising really fast, but I'm just wondering how far along he is, because he's not even like Luka, where he's played in the top league. He's played in the top French league and had pretty good success this year. He had a 44-point outburst, and that kind of just set off his stock. But I'm wondering if he falls. He said he wanted to come over this year, so I don't know if he's an option there where you just, for the Suns, it doesn't matter what position he is. You just take a guy who you think is that talented if he falls.
So is he your favorite guy in terms of a guy who could fall? Because in each of these sections, we covered Okobo, we covered Dante DiVincenzo, we covered Herter, we covered Kata Bates-Jopp. Those are four guys who are expected to go in the first round. I would say Okobo is like the dream scenario to fall.
Yeah.
Because look, maybe it's just the hype happening right now and that he's like looking like a surefire top 20, top 25 pick, and he could be there at 31. To me, it's DiVincenzo or Herter. I think
Herter and then Okobo. I'm not as sold on DiVincenzo just because of age, and like he had a decent season and his numbers are fine, but it's, I guess it's one of those things like, why didn't he do more? And like if you go to Raleigh Alkins, who's another guy who a year ago I thought he would just explode as a sophomore and he kind of had injury problems. It's like, why didn't he do more? And that's hard to judge when you look at those two guys in particular, because they're on teams that had so many other pieces where they're just filling a role, and like you can knock them for that, or you can say, man, you guys played your role really well and fit in, and in the NBA maybe you explode and do a lot more, because I think both of those guys have that upside to them, especially Alkins, because he's younger, shoots better than people give him credit for, I think. Better athlete than people think.
Has
defender.
Some pick and roll ball handler equity. It's not completely out the window that he could be a secondary ball handler on your team.
Yeah.
It's he's 6'4", so he needs to. He needs to shoot, and he needs to handle the ball.
If he works on his handle, I think he's suddenly a lot better, because he's a good passer. It's just, can he create off the bounce well enough to set those passes up and kind of manipulate more? He didn't do a lot of that. I won't complain about Arizona's offense anymore in this podcast like I have in every other podcast, but yeah, so he's intriguing there just because I think he's an NBA level athlete with a lot of different skills.
Yeah, I think there's two other directions we can take this. So those are guys that we're looking at. I think looking at guys you can hope to fall. Is there anyone that you, from looking at these pieces and writing them, impressed you? I know you said Grayson Allen was a guy where you're like, hey,
yeah,
maybe I like Grayson Allen more than I care to admit.
The one thing that popped out, like looking at him, and that was, thanks for bringing that up, because my memory is terrible, even though I wrote it like yesterday.
No problem. No problem, fam. I got you.
Grayson's career at Duke is interesting because his best season came as a sophomore, and then he just kind of leveled out. But leveling out was like still scoring 20 points, dishing 5 assists per game, shooting pretty well. His shooting numbers his sophomore year were pretty off the charts, just because I think he was playing with Luke Kennard and Brandon Ingram, and he was basically like a spot-up guy. He tested well at the combine.
Do you buy this as something where like DiVincenzo and Herter, these are like new, and even guys like Melvin Frazier, Jacob Evans, like these guys are new and they're kind of, I hate using this word, but like sexy in a way, because they're like new, interesting prospects. We've known about Grayson Allen since he was a freshman, mm-hmm. and it seems like he checks a lot of the things that these guys do as well, but it's just like we know that, and maybe it's boring. This sounds like a hot radio take or something, but I don't see a humongous, like, I still think he's like a top 30, top, not top 30 for me, but maybe like 35, 40 range for me. But he's
absolutely,
he's around, like he's a legitimate like prospect still.
I think I feel confident saying he's an NBA player, and not all of these guys I think are. Like Jacob Evans, I don't know. Like Grayson Allen is good at shooting. That alone is going to get him. But his like athleticism, he ran point a lot at Duke the last 2 years, which I think is going to help him immediately, just because you need guards who are not pegged into just being shooters. So if you like look at it, I don't know if he's like a risky pick at all. So if he's, you're the Suns at 31 and you want a player who's going to be an NBA player, I think that would be a good move there. But yeah, it's that, then that you go back to the question of whether they have two other rookies with him, and then is that too much?
We should briefly hit on Javon Carter and Jalen Brunson. Javon Carter, the PJ Tucker comps are very obvious there. Just super hardworking guy. You hear all these things. Like, of course, Pat Connolly is going to say, like, oh, yeah, he was going like it was an NCAA tournament game. And, like, of course he's going to say that because that's how Carter is. It's no surprise to hear him about that. Brunson is just more of, I know what I'm getting. I know you're not going to make mistakes. I know if the defense gives you an opportunity to score, you're not going to be like, oh, well, I'm rookie point guard floor general guy, so I'm going to make sure everyone, like, no, he's going to score.
Shoot, yeah.
He's going to shoot. Those two guys are interesting from the standpoint of you take Aiden at one, you trade 16, and you're still looking for, like, another instant contributor. I think those two guys could both be on the board when they're up at 31. Landry Shamet is kind of in that same category, but more of shooting than anything.
Yeah.
There are some people who are super high on him and see him as like a top 15, 20 guy who can do a lot of different things. For now, I think he's a sort of a ball handler, sort of, and definitely a shooter. And I'm not sure what else he is outside of that. Is there anyone else you think we should really hit on? Because the one question I had for you is, if we're looking at trading up at 16, we talk about that all the time, what about trading up from 31? Say they move 16, or they just take a guy at 16, but the more likely thing is they trade 16 for a win now guy, and then they see someone falling in the 20s where they're like, oh, we love this guy, but he's not going to be there at 31.
Let's give up. So, like, saying 28 or 25?
I'm saying even higher. Like, here's the Bucks pick in 31. We'll move up to 20, and we'll take.
That would be aggressive.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, is that a draft and stash guy like Okobo or Musa? Is that someone like Herter or DiVincenzo? I think a guy like Herter makes a lot of sense to me, and I think someone like D'Anthony Melton is another guy to keep an eye on for that range. We didn't mention Melton in ours just because him and Kyrie Thomas are two guys who we feel like there's just no doubt they're not going to be guys that really. We mentioned Melton for 16, but it's probably not going to be him at 16. And you can play the sound clip when they draft him at 16. him and Thomas are like in that range where like they're going to go in like the 15 to 25 range.
Yeah.
And they're like not going to fall to 31. But those two guys stand out to me as guys you could trade up for. Was there anyone else at 31 where you're like, love this guy, would love to see the Suns take him, and then anyone you like trading up for?
I'm just like, I think I'm like too involved in what the Suns do with 1 and 16 to like care. That sounds terrible at like 32. But if you're telling me like, hey, who do you want to go get if you need to use that player right now? I would say like Melton might fall. I think he might fall. I don't like any of the bigs. If Shake Milton fell,
Troy Brown,
I would be down with Alkins. And yeah, I guess I'd be down with Grayson Allen. So maybe those four, but I think one of those four will be there. It's just a matter of like, I don't think any of those guys move any needles for you next year. I don't know if they play just because of the position setup. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly think if you're talking about getting a number 20 pick, I think it's more likely they move down from 16 and somehow push that and say, like, move down and take Musa and just don't pay that salary, don't have it on the books, and keep that off for free agency. I think we're going to see that movement kind of be telling toward this summer and free agency ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I think they could also move down and just get a veteran. They could just get rid of 16, or they could move from 16 to 25 and then have 25 and 31 and still get someone like Musa or Kobo and then take their win now guy at 31. Okay, top three guys at 31. We'll rule out the obvious Shake Milton, Herter, DiVincenzo, Bates Job names where we're just not expecting them to be on the board. But realistic guys you expect to be on the board, who's your top three?
Does Shamet not count there?
I think he counts. He's all over the place. Like, ESPN has him in like the 40s or the 50s, I think.
Okay. I'd probably go Actually, you go, because I need to, like, think of all these guards that I'm, like, blanking on.
Okay. This is tough for me because, like, I feel like there's a pretty big drop-off after those guys I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I feel like it's pretty substantial, and it doesn't really matter where you go from there. With that in mind, just off the top of my head, I'll go Okoji, number one. Just physical tools, guy who can really harass ball handlers, only 19 still, so he can grow a little bit, and his shooting wasn't terrible. But there, it just seems like his... most of his problems are fixable, like stop ball watching, stop taking so long to shoot. It seems like he has a good base and foundation. Man, I'm not really sure after him. I think this is where I look at a guy like Jacob Evans or Melvin Frazier and that sort of group, but this is where you go with those guys and you're like, should we just take Javon Carter? Like, I think I would put Shamet at 3 and I'd put Carter at 2. I think that's how I would rank it. I'm not sure though. This is just off the top of the head. I guess it would be the three. I would say the 3-3-and-D guys would make the most sense. So like ranking Okoji, Evans, and Frazier in some sort. Frazier 7'2", wingspan nearly out of Tulane, the most physical and agitating type of defender out of all these guys, but he just has a lot of stuff to clean up. His shooting went from 26% to 38% from 3 in 1 year, which is kind of a little red flag that the numbers might not be legit. But yeah, I guess I'll just cop out and say like, yeah, the 3-and-D guys, I'll say in some order, those three guys.
I'm going to just swing.
Put Grayson Allen 1. Do it.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Absolutely.
Raleigh 2. I guess I'll go Jacob Evans 3 because I think those guys. Yeah. I don't know. The other ones don't impress me as much. Like I like Javon Carter a lot. I just don't know. Like he can shoot and play defense. I guess that's important, but I feel like the other guys have more upside, and if I'm there, I'm swinging. Sure. That's mine.
No complaints here. It's 31. Whatever.
You can't mess up.
Yeah.
Well, you could.
You could take Devon Reed over Jordan Bell, who's contributing in the NBA Finals right now, but who saw that
coming? Oh, you probably did.
I mean, I'm not going to be like, I told you so guy, but I think it was pretty obvious.
I saw him contributing with the Bulls on draft night, and then...
Yeah. I think, yeah. It was very clear that he was going to be an NBA contributor in some ways, but I still have Davon Reed stock. I'm hoping he turns it around and has a clear year here. No injuries, no nonsense for him to deal with. He's going to go up and down from Prescott like 30 times, though, so...
Poor guy. All right, don't get stuck on those I-17 traffic situations. Anything else?
No, that's it.
We're going to do some looks at whether they trade their picks in another podcast soon. And then...
the most asked question we get by far is who do you think they could trade the picks for, like 16 and 31, who are some names? We'll come up with a couple. We're still struggling to come up with a couple, but we'll have a couple by the time we talk about it.
Let me tell you, they're not going to be super exciting names.
Who's ready for Willie Cauley-Stein, folks? Here we go.